I'm very pleased to be sharing with you again and on along this evening, and thank Mr. McCulloch for his kind invitation and for his warm welcome. I couldn't help having a wee laugh to myself during the offering there, and the guys that were lifting the offering, some of them were more used guys meeting each other with their overalls on. We're not just, but we clean up all right for the Lord's Day. But I must tell you this wee story. When I went to Drumara at the start, we had the most unreliable heating system in the whole Presbyterian church in Ireland. It never came on a Sunday morning. So what I used to do was I used to take my overall in the boot of the car and a set of spanners to get it going. And especially when we had a wedding, I like to make a girl's day as smooth as I could. So we're up to the church an hour early, make sure it was going, had their overall on. And the video man was there, you see. And I came in with the overalls on, and it was a rough-looking bit of work, right enough. And he says to me, move those flowers over there. Move those over there. And that's in the way there. Move that out of the way. And he was just treating me like a dog, to tell you the truth. But I said nothing. So went down home, had a drop of tea, and got cleaned up a bit, and got my collar on, and my suitcase up, and all that. And up I come. Now, you should have seen his face when I walked in to the meeting house. He says, are you a minister here? Aha, says I. You never judge anybody by what's on them, but you judge a man by what's in them. With that in our mind, we're going to think tonight about the fishing industry. And I suppose I still feel more comfortable talking about fishing than I do about any other subject and things related to it. But one fisherman met a friend who wasn't a fisherman one day, and he says, well, how's things at the fishing these days? Well, he says, you know, if the TAC was a wee bit bigger and we had more ITQs, and if Dira and the PO would get off her back, it wouldn't be so bad. But he says, this old IIS and this carry on with VCUs and KWs and tonnage and all that carry on. And then he says, you know, it's getting men to tail wee prawns is a problem. He says, you can bring foreigners in. But if they're on a visa, they have to fish outside the 12 miles. And if you want to fish inside the 12 miles, you have to have sponsorship. And you have to have them insured. And then, of course, you can only land at certain places. You can't land at harbours that you want to land in. But, of course, he says that's not so bad because you do all your drills with your fire drills and your man overboard drills and your first aid and your meteorology and your survival courses. But then, of course, the logbooks are all digital now and you have to do your logbooks that way. And then, of course, the weather's bad and the oil price is big and the fish price is poor. But he says, apart from that's all right. It's not a joke, sure it's not. We're being killed. And I say we because I'm still a fisherman. And we're not here to give the government a bad time. They're really nice people. They are, and they're very helpful when you go to see them. Sometimes. But I want to speak to you tonight about something that you'll understand completely. And, you know, the scriptures that we read tonight talked about containers, but we'll talk about the fish getting into baskets. And I love these wee quarter crayon. If you don't know what this is a quarter crayon basket. And I have one at home that a wee lady gave me. It's a treasure to me. And we have a big one at the hearth at home to remember us when I'm fishing with quarter crayons. And can I just take a moment before we get into the scriptures tonight to say, you know, how sorry I am for the families that I know well who have lost loved ones in recent days. I know it's been tough for many of you. And, you know, the Lord is good to us, and we trust him for everything. But as you get older, you reminisce, don't you? I have a wee five-year-old grandson, and he's a great wee boy. And his other granda is a farmer, and he's 76. So we're washing our hands on Thursday, and he says to me, I make him call me Shaw. Don't want to call granda. I'm far too young for that. He says, Shaw, you know, Freddie's 76, this is another grand. Freddie's 76. But he'll get old at you one day and his hair will go white the same as yours. Ah, says I am only 68. Aye, but he says, he'll catch up with you. And I couldn't help but think, look at those photographs tonight. And I have the fondest memories, and forgive me if I share a few. You know, when I was a young boy, my first money I ever made at the fishing was £3 and a 14-foot punt with oars and filled with mackerel at £1 a box. The third boat ever bought was the Silver Spray, if you forgive me for the praise, the Porter boat from Billy Edmund here in Annalong. We bought her in 1972. And when I see the chambersmen, Hayden and Harry and Victor and Jack, you know, and the McCulloch boys, Edmund, the Crystal Sea, the Green Valley, the Green Hill, what memories they were. And weren't they great days? I know I seem so old when I say that, but they were great days. Great days, the fishing was good. And we were a community set apart, weren't we? And of course, the dreaded EU come. And we're going to be talking a wee bit about them later on. But we'll go to this passage of Scripture now. And it's a Scripture that I'm very fond of because it tells us so much about our Lord Jesus. The people that he walked among, that he lived among, and that he preached among. And it's no accident that he called his disciples from among fishermen. Because the Scripture tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that they saw that they were unschooled, not educated men. But the men that they called, Peter and the day of Pentecost, would preach and see thousands of people converted to Christ in one day. The fishermen. And this parable that we have in Matthew 13 tonight is very simple. It's entitled, The Parable of the Dragnet. The parable of the dragnet. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea. If we could just paraphrase that kingdom of heaven, we could say that is, this is what a Christian is like. If you're a Christian, this is what it's like to be a Christian. We could exchange those phrases. So what Jesus is saying to us here, if you want to be a follower of mine, if you are a follower of mine, this is what it's like. This is what being a follower of Jesus Christ is like. It's like a net that was cast into the sea to bring all kinds of fish together. And it's very interesting to note when Jesus speaks about this, because our Lord, of course, knew everything. But he distinguishes between different kinds of net in the New Testament. There's three separate Greek words for net in the New Testament. The first one is evictuon, and that would be a bit of net that the gladiators would have used in the arena, or a bit of net you would have for catching birds or something like that, just a general piece of netting. And then there's another word that's used that's called amphiblestrion, and that would be a net that you'd see people casting, you know, in a circle. You would see them in the lakes of the continent, where a man or woman would cast the net out in a 12 or 14 foot circle and then pull the thing in very quickly to catch the fish at the top of the water. But this net that Jesus speaks about here is called a sangene. And it's a seine net that was shot from the shore. And you'll know exactly what I mean, men and women. You put the net in the stern of the punt or whatever, and you rowed out in a horseshoe shape or a semicircle shape, and then all hands pulled the net up onto the shore. It was the simplest thing ever. But we're told here that it brought every kind of fish, so it would not have passed EU regulations today, let me tell you. There would have been no square mesh panels in it. There would have had to have been certain mesh behind the headline. That was gone. But if you don't know about nets, maybe you need to know the basics. I remember one day in Port of Ogie, we were manning a mid-water trawl, and we thought we were very modern at the time. We had got a new net that had 64-inch mesh wings and mouth in it. And there's this wee lady coming, it was about the 12th time, and she says to me, excuse me, she says, what do you catch in that net? Well, she says, that's a herring net. She says, a herring net? She says, a wee man comes and sells me fish in Ballinahinch, and he brings her. She says, the herring you're catching must be the size of elephants. She says, 60-inch mesh. But you get the principle. It's a great big circle opening going up to the cod end, the business end of things, where the bag is. So what we have here is a picture of a net cast out into the sea, drawing every kind of fish in its path. And you see, men and women, that's a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. What we might call common grace. In other words, everyone that's in this meeting house tonight, under the sound of my voice, that's the common grace. That's the call of God's word going out to you, that you hear it. You hear it read and proclaimed, and that's the call of God. The gospel is for the whosoever will. The gospel is for those who will hear the word of God and will turn to him in repentance and faith. But we all know that in this world in which we live, we are all different ages, different outlooks, different races, different nationalities, but we have this in common, that we are all children of Adam and Eve, and as such that we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. There's nothing good in us, no, not one thing, the scripture tells us. He tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so we are in this together, all together, no different in any of us. And that's the common call of the gospel to us, that when we hear the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, proclaimed, we will have the opportunity to come to faith in him. So the net is an all-embracing thing, bringing all kinds of people under its catch. But what about the likelihood of the catch? Well, it tells us there, when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up onto the shore. And this gives us a picture, and you can get this in your mind's eye, that the nets pulled ashore, and there'd been a bag in it, of course, and it'd been up into the shore, and then you would start to sort through it. The fishing was a wonderful thing in that you never knew exactly what would come up in a net at times. You know, especially at the herring fishing, you saw the pictures of the skiffs there, well, they're not skiffs nowadays, but hauling in the herring and a herring in every mash. Always amazes me, they never show you one when you get what we call a knockler. You never show one when there's nothing, but that's another story altogether. But you know, you get all sorts of fish in a net. All sorts. There's an article in the Fishing News not so long ago, and they asked people to write in to say the most strange things they got in their nets. And do you remember the boat that was lost in the south coast of England where they were fishing for brand new motorbikes, the BMW motorbikes? Do you remember that? Some of the boys then got the follow the net of nappies. There was nappies in the containers as well. But one of the strangest things ever come up in the net was an elephant. True story. It died aboard in passage. It was a part of the circus. So the boys just hove it over the side and a beam trawler out of Brixham picked it up. But when they brought the elephant in, they had dumped it over the side again too, you see. And the authorities got to hear this. He says, well, listen, we need to know the origin of this elephant. He says, what sort of elephant was it? Well, the man said it was grey. Well, of course it was grey. He says, well, it's just an Indian elephant or an African elephant. He says, well, what's the difference? He says, well, the Indian elephant has the wee ears and the African has the great big ears. He says, well, tell you the truth, he was wearing a balaclava, so we didn't know where he was. So you get all sorts in a net, don't you? Some things to keep, some things to throw over the side. But men especially, and women, you've been maybe there too, especially at the prawn fishing. Up the bag comes, the bench is there, you start to tail. The containers, the old-fashioned baskets all around you, head-on prawns there, the tails there, haddock, cod, whiting, hake. I know I'm maybe being a bit nostalgic when I say that now, but there was all sorts, so you had to sort them all out. And then when you had the bench cleared, you used to keep a wee stick and the rubbish went over the side. You see, that's where the discards come in. The EU is absolutely dead nuts on what we call discards, the fish that you throw away. This problem was there when Jesus was on the earth. So it's not a new problem. You would think the folk in the EU would catch on, wouldn't you? But there you go, we're not going down that road at the minute. But there's a very important point here. Those that were kept, we're told that those that were part of the kingdom, and those that were discarded were those that were outside the kingdom. So the question, of course, we have to ask is, how can we be sure that we are part of the kingdom work? How can we be sure that we are in this work, in this faith, in the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, you know, it's the simplest thing in the world, really. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very, very simple. It tells us, and we cannot argue, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. I don't need to convince you of that, because you know it. And you know that Christ came into this world, the Son of God, tempted on all points as we are, but yet without sin. And he died on Calvary's cross and shed his life's blood that he would make atonement. In other words, he would stand in our place. And because he would stand in our place, we are forgiven for our sin and we receive the inheritance of life everlasting through simply believing in what Christ has done for us. And it's as simple as that. It's the ABC, if you will. Accepting who we are, believing in what Christ has done for us, and then committing our way to him in repentance and faith. And that's the reality, isn't it? That this parable tells us very, very clearly that there's that separation, that which is wholesome and good and the Lord's people, and that which is outside of Christ. And we know that. We know that. So very often, people want to skate over the truth of the gospel and the truth of what it is to be a Christian and the truth of what it is to have that hope of everlasting life. Do you know, our fisher folk of a past generation, you only had to look at the names of their vessels and what they had on their life belts and so on to know that there was that. You think about even an all along here, the green pastures. My Uncle Alec, two boats out of the 23rd Psalm, the still waters and the quiet waters. The Benaiah, built of God. The Havilah, the land where there is gold in Genesis. Peace and plenty, the guiding light, all of those things remind us of who we are, what we are, and the scriptures. Let me share with you, when we went to Drumara, we had to build a new manse there after 10 days. And there was a window facing right south in the hallway. And I said to the church, I want to give a gift for that window. So I'm going to give a stained glass gift, and I'll tell you why I did that. In it, I got a friend of mine who's in the business to make me a stained glass window of the old South Rock lighthouse on the South Rock at Port of Ogie. And underneath is that text of scripture we mentioned already tonight from Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And in the autumn and spring equinox, the sun shines that light right up the whole hallway. And when you come into the manse, the first thing you see is the Lord is my light and my salvation. And you think about the symbols around us in this meeting house tonight, the many things here that are to remind us of danger and safety. Port and starboard light. When you're navigating, you have to bow to the port light to keep safe. With the International Code of Signals all around us that tells other boats around you what you're doing. We, of course, have the life belts. The last resort, of course, but for safety nonetheless. And, of course, we have the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. Thank God for them. I've been a governor for many, many, many years, and I've never used this service once, thank God, and I hope never to. But it isn't great to know that they're there. And what's it all about? It's about safety at sea, to keeping us safe, to warn us of dangers, to warn us to stay away from that which would destroy us. My father was a deep sea going captain. He wasn't a fisherman. But he tells the story of the first time he was ever in Gdansk in the Baltic. And they brought the pilot on board, and the pilot had very, very, very little English, just enough to get by. And my daddy was a wee bit dubious of the man. And my daddy says to him, "Do you know where all the rocks are here?" He says, "No, I don't." But daddy says, "You don't?" "No," he says, "but I know where they're not." I once went to buy a hernringer in Scotland, and I got to this wee man and got chatting to him. "Oh," he says, "that's the best hernring man in the Minch." He says, "That man knew every rock in the Minch." "So I did, eh?" I says, "but that boat wasn't every rock in the Minch," he says. You see, the dangers to be avoided. And I don't need to catalogue those to you. You know what sin is, and you know the consequences of sin. But here's the good news. The Lord has not left us without a Redeemer. The Redeemer in Jesus Christ our Lord. God, our light and our salvation, has provided that means for us. He has provided that peace and assurance to know that when this life is over, that all is well with our soul. Tell me, as we draw near to a close tonight, do you believe that? Do I think you do? I don't think for one moment we think, when we lay our mortal remains in the earth, that that's the end of us. No, I think that you believe, and believe you will, that there's a life yet to be. For our Lord Jesus has promised that. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the promise. Heaven at the end. Now, I know you believe that. And I know that you believe that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the ends thereof are the ways of death, as the Proverbs say. But the way to life is through Jesus only. And isn't it the most blessed thought in the world to know that when this life is over, that there's a blessed life yet to be, when we will stand before him, when we will see him as he is, the one that died that we might live eternally. The hymn says, "I shall know him, I shall know him. When redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, by the print of the nails in his hands." Isn't that a blessed thought? The hymn tells us that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That is the reality of the hope. That is the reality of the hope of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And doesn't the Apostle Paul tells us, if we have hope only for this life, then we are men most miserable. But can I, this evening in closing, offer to you the Saviour that has been mine for over 50 years, the stranger of Galilee, the man who sat by the sea and spoke with fishermen, sailed with fishermen, ate with them, and the man who knew them. I'm often asked the question, how can you be sure? Well, I am sure because Jesus has promised me, and his word has never been proven to be false. But he says, what one man said to me, but Shaw, listen, when you die and you stand before the Lord, will he not recall all the bad things you've done? Says, I know. He says, and why should God let you into his heaven? Well, so let's surmise that I'm there and Jesus says to me, Shaw, why should I let you into heaven? Here's my answer to that question. I said, Lord, you're the maker of heaven and earth. You're the one who has died and rose again and conquered death and hell forever. And you're the same one in the scriptures that says that whoever calls in your name would not perish but have everlasting life. And you tell me, though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be dyed like crimson, they shall be as snow. Lord, I have nothing to offer you. Not a thing. I am but a sinner here trusting in what you said and did for me. And so, Lord, I say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That is the hope. That is the hope. Nothing outside of Christ will do, you see. Nothing will do. Our good works are meaningless. What we've accumulated counts for nothing. But what does count is what you've done with Jesus that is called Christ. Let me finish with the words of a great hymn from Robert Murray McShane. He says, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before his throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art and love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. I am a debtor to Christ alone. My hope is in Christ alone. I have nothing else to offer you but Christ, and only in Christ is there hope for everlasting life. This parable this evening, just ponder it when you go home, especially you fishermen. Think about the cod end coming aboard and sorting through what's there and what's good and what's not, what's kept and what's discarded. And ask yourself, where will it be with me? Where will it be with me? As you put your head to your pillow this evening, think on these things. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this evening. Thank that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word is food and drink to our souls, that your word is truth. And write the truth of your word upon all of our hearts, and to Christ's name be the glory. Amen.